Well, Delaney and I are so proud of our graduates, and we're thankful that Ted made the decision to walk up here and receive his recognition. We have gift bags for all the kids. There's some great books in there, and the oldest graduate usually gets some Polygrip, so he'll check the bottom of the bag, see if the tradition lives on. As I watch the graduates come across, I just flash back to some of those. I was involved in their parent baby dedication, even in our old worship center. It's so exciting. I'm so proud of all of them, and get to talk to them out in their classroom, college classroom, high school classrooms, and out here in the Welcome Center to see what kind of plans that they have. I was pondering what I might preach on today, and you'll remember several years ago we honored our graduates. I had a Harley-Davidson motorcycle up here, and I preached part of the message from that motorcycle. Delaney and I used to ride a little bit, and I call that driving down the highway of life. And I had scriptures, and I talked about the hazards of driving a motorcycle. One of them is gravel on pavement doing about 60 miles an hour. You do not want to see that. Well, I was in my office back in January of this year, and I was praying about what I might preach, and I thought I would preach a message from a mop bucket. This is such a highly technical generation, and they have probably never touched the handle of a mop and never will. But I thought it'd be a great time to share a very simple message, multi-text, with this precious class of graduates. When I officially got my first job, I don't know if it was because I was 5'9" and weighed 115 pounds, but they assigned me to the mop crew. Janitorial and custodial industry is very lucrative. People who clean houses and offices can make millions of dollars if they know how to manage their corporations. So it is work that features dignity. I'll never forget my first official mop crew. We always mopped on Tuesday nights. Claude Tillman was a college student at Payne College in Augusta. He ran the mop machine. The mop machine had two scrubbers underneath it, a big vat there for water and also chemical. The vacuum system was not good when that mop machine would go down an aisle. And so it left a lot of water and soap. Then came me. I was a student at Augusta College, and my job was to clean up behind the mop machine. Then there was another man named Nathaniel Bell. Nathaniel Bell drove a beverage truck by day, and he worked for us at night, and he had five children. His job was to take a mop like this and put down wax after I went down every aisle. The first time I ever mopped, I want to share with you that everybody was laughing at me. So I want you to know, first of all, that there's a method to mopping. And in Proverbs 15:22, here's what we find. Plans fail for a lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. First night on the mop crew, after the machine finished up an aisle, I started mopping like this. Everybody started laughing at me. I said, "What seems to be your problem? I'm in here doing this work." And so they laughed at me a while. Now, imagine going to a place about the size of Publix grocery store. That was the size of the first store that I worked in. How long would it take me, and how much of my back would I break if I kept mopping behind that machine like this? One of the veteran employees came up to me and said, "We're going to teach you how to dance." I said, "Okay, I'm not very good at that." They said, "Put your left hand on the top of the mop, put your right hand down here, and just dance back and forth with that mop all the way down the aisle." You see how much easier that is to do? And here's what I want you to write down. And that is the method. And how do we learn the method? We usually have to learn that from somebody that is in the business. when we seek God's plans for our life through prayer and through the Word of God, then what we need to find is somebody who walks with God, who is in that profession that we're entering, so that we can learn how to be the most efficient and effective we can in God's calling for our life. Let me share with you what preachers wrestle with. There are many different things that they have to encounter. You always want to be fresh. You always want to put out a new message. But sometimes you're just dry as a powder house and you just don't have any ideas. One of my preaching professors said this: if you'll read your Bible every single day, you will never run out of material. E.V. Hill was a fantastic pastor in Los Angeles. I used to love to go to conferences and hear him expound on the Word of God. He was in the category with Tony Evans. One time he was in a pastor's conference and he said, "You young pastors probably experienced what I did when I got out of seminary." He said, "I was pastoring a small church." He said, "I kind of used up everything I knew. Sunday was coming." He said, "It made it to Wednesday and Thursday and I had nothing fresh to share with my congregation." Finally, on Friday, he went to the seminary that he attended and saw his preaching professor, and he sat down and said, "Prof," he said, "it's Friday now and Sunday's coming and I have nothing for the congregation." He said, "I've searched through scripture. I don't have any ideas to share with the congregation." And here's what his professor said: "Hill, reach into your files and pull out a sermon that you've already preached. Then take out all the lies and put in new illustrations. See how it goes." And that's what he did. He took out the old illustrations, put in the new illustrations. There were not supposed to be any lies in the sermon to start with. He preached that sermon. Lots of people got saved at the end of the service. The altar was just flooded. And this is what I love. One of his deacons came up to him that didn't realize he had already heard the sermon before. And he said, "Hill, if you preach like that every Sunday, we wouldn't have room enough to house the worshipers." What did E.B. Hill do? When he felt spiritually dry, he went to somebody who was very seasoned, one of his mentors, one of his professors, and said, "Listen, my method's not working. What do you suggest I do on this Sunday?" So that's the first thing I want you to write down, and it provides information for, doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, whether you're just going into your career, you're just going to college, coming out of college, you're in midlife, wherever you are, you've got to know the method to carry out God's plan for your life. The second thing I want you to write down, the messes that we make. And I want you to turn to Matthew 26, verse 69 through 75. Matthew 26, 69 through 75. Now, Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. "You also with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," Peter said. Then he went out to the gateway where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." Peter denied it again. This time with an oath, he said, "I don't know the man." And after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you're one of them. Your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. Verse 75. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times." And he went outside, and he wept bitterly. How many times have I heard people say, "I would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ had I lived in his day, seen him in the flesh, I would have trusted him as my Savior and my Lord." Then I've heard Christians say, "I would be more faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ had I lived in his day when he was walking the earth in the flesh." Ladies and gentlemen, that is not true. Peter had said, if all forsake you, if everyone renounces you, I never will. Here is Peter in total spiritual failure. Rookie, mock crew. Now this bucket won't do it because this is a custom made from Ace Hardware. But I'll show you what a rookie normally does with their mop bucket. They have this squeegee here where you can wring out your mop. There's also a handle here, and that's the proper way to move your mop bucket is with the handle. But what rookies like to do is when they're ready to move the bucket, they like to put it in the squeezer. It's got about 4 gallons of water in it, and let me tell you what happens every time you push it with a mop handle with the squeezer. The rookie always get to mop up about 4 gallons of dirty water because of his failure. We all experience failure. I was reading the other day about TV dinners. Don't you just love TV dinners? I know you've probably already read this, but during COVID, the sale of TV dinners went up 50%. Now, it looks to me like if you were restricted to your house, you would at least Google a cookbook and take the family homeowner's policy at its word that you have replacement value insurance in case you burn your house down because you don't know how to cook. It looks like people would have done that, but Swanson's TV dinners had a 50% increase in sales. I did a little background research on Swanson's, and back in 1945, the founder of Swanson's sold TV dinners to the airlines, 1945. Listen to this. He had an opportunity in 1947 to start selling TV dinners in the frozen food sections of grocery stores, but he thought it was a bad idea. Mr. Swanson died in 1955, but I want you to know what happened back in 1953. In 1953, Swanson was not making personal meals except for the airlines, but they did make some frozen turkey dinner type things that you could sell at Thanksgiving. When they got through with the Thanksgiving rush, listen to this, they had 260 tons of leftover frozen turkey. They had 260 tons on 10 boxcars on a railroad. The freezers would not work on the railroad boxcars unless the boxcars were moving. The president of the company at that time kept sending that trainload of turkeys from Nebraska to the East Coast and back so they'd stay frozen until they could figure out what to do. And finally, one of their salesmen came up with a great idea. He said, why don't we just take an aluminum tray and put that turkey in one section and then the sides here and box it up and freeze it and sell TV dinners to the general public. There was one food critic in a magazine who said this, eating off a tray in dusk before a TV set is an abomination. I agree with that. But I want you to know that unexpected abundance of turkey led to some real Christmas bonuses that year. And it also has paid dividends for that company all the way to 2022. Back in 1955, the Campbell Soup Corporation bought Swanson's, and they're the ones that reap the fruits of those profits from those TV dinners. Now let's go back to Peter here just for a moment. Peter has denied Jesus 3 times. He said, I'm your biggest supporter. Be careful about people who say that to you. It's not always true. But listen what happens. Pentecost takes place in Acts chapter 2. The church is anointed with the Holy Spirit. Here's this old failure, Peter. He goes out, and God calls him to preach. And he goes out, and the first time he preaches, 3,000 people get saved. Listen to me carefully. Failure is never final. And failure does not define us. It just presents more opportunities for us to be used by God. So you got the method there. And then the second thing you got there is the message we make. And then the third thing I want you to write down is the maintenance that it's going to take to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 4, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Since I was the pickup man behind the mop machine, the vacuum did not work very well to pick up the water that it was putting down. So I would have to make sure I had a clean mop, clean water, and I could mop behind that machine for about 4 hours, and then I had to take the mop bucket in the back room. I would dump out the dirty water, rinse out the bucket, then I would clean my mop out, and then I would take clean water back on the floor. Now, if I didn't do that, here's what happened. After about 4 hours, when I would be mopping behind this machine, I'd be actually putting down streaks of dirty water. Mr. Bell, Nathaniel Bell, was about 3 hours behind me, so by the time he would get to me with the wax in the mop, when he'd come to that aisle, if I had not cleaned my water, there would be dirt streaks all down that aisle. And when Mr. Bell would go along with that wax mop, you know what he'd be doing? He'd been sealing in dirt. Those have been dirty floors with a wax glow on the top. One thing we don't like to talk about and we don't study much as Christians is the word holiness. I love what C.S. Lewis said when he was trying to describe how we ought to show forth the fruit of the Spirit in our lives to other people, lost people and saved people. He said, if you got a totally dirty mirror, that mirror cannot reflect the light of the sun. But he said, you show me a man who is clean, and I'll show you a man who can reflect Jesus to other people. That's why it's so important that we have our quiet time. That's why it's so important that we confess our sins, even as Christians. Yes, we're forgiven, but we're to 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And when God presents opportunities for us to share the gospel, or God just calls us to be nice to somebody, be Christ-like to somebody, if we're careful about our walk and make sure our life is clean, God is going to use us to the max to influence other people. Delaney and I have gotten in a little bit of habit of going to the same restaurant every Friday afternoon about 1:30 or 2 o'clock. We've been doing that for about a year and a half or 2 years. The waitress has been at this restaurant for 27 years. People come in, they ask for her. We go in, we ask for her. When we go in, if we're standing by the hostess stand and she sees us, she goes to the back. She knows what we want to drink. She brings the bread. She knows pretty much what we're going to eat. But by the time we sit down, you know what she does? She has everything waiting for us. I said, I sure do hope you go to work for Renaissance Assisted Living one day, because we don't have to break in anybody new. But you know, I shared with her a devotion book one day. She knows what I do for a living, and I've carried guests in there. Last week when we were there, it was just on my heart. And I looked at her and I called her by name. I said, Delaney, and I just really do appreciate you. You're good at what you do. And you memorize people's names and you make sure this is a pleasant experience. And I said, one of these days we're going to die and go to heaven. before we do that, I want to make sure you're going to be there too. I looked her right straight in the eyes. She welled up in tears. I said, have you ever asked Jesus in your heart to be your Savior? And she said, I haven't. If you're carrying baggage, if you're carrying premeditated habitual sin in your life, God is not going, what? He's not going to allow those moments to go very well. Because over time, this lady has had to see a difference in you. Well, that person you're building a relationship with, they've got to see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Even though they don't know what that is, they know it's something they don't see in very many people. God is going to give you an opportunity to be used by Him. The other thing I want you to write down is the message that you learn in 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ suffered in His body, arm yourselves with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. And as a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. I was thankful for my job. $1.65 an hour. That's big money. But we took pride in what we did, because the next morning, the first person in the store was going to be the manager. He'd be there about 7 a.m. His first act of business was to walk down every aisle in that store and made sure it was clean and shining for the customers that would be coming in the rest of the week. If we did not do our job properly, we could be written up. If we didn't do our job properly, we could be fired. God's got a game plan for everybody's life. I had a grocery store moment. I did it for 10 years. But about midway through that, I had a grocery store moment. I don't think this is what God wants me to do the rest of my life. You know what you start doing? You start praying. You start reading your Bible. And you start listening and you start obeying. And I didn't get my profession from a counselor. I didn't get my profession off a career choice book. I got my call from God, just like you can get yours from Him as well. Dan Miller, in his book, 48 Days to the Work You Love, says there's 7 things we all need to take care of. He says one thing is finances. Be sure that you invest well. Second thing he says is physical, your health, your exercise, and also your appearance. He said, take care of your personal development, your knowledge, your education, self-improvement. Take care of your family, your relationship to others, the development of children, development of a husband-wife relationship. Spiritual, seek openness, involvement, personal commitment, and scripture study. Then social, increase the number of friends and community involvements. Number 7, your career. Ambitions, dreams, and hopes. I am amazed at the people that I talk with who have no goals in their life. Zig Ziglar was a great inspirational speaker. I used to love every opportunity I got to hear him. One time he pulled out a jar, and over to the side he had a little sample of some fleas. I'm talking about what gets on your dogs and your cats when they go in the yard. And so he captured some of those fleas and closed the lid of the jar. And you know what the fleas did? For 20 minutes, they pounced on the bottom of the lid of that jar, trying to get out. And after 20 minutes, they gave up. They just fell to the bottom of the jar. They're still alive. But they figured out they're probably going to starve to death. And listen to what Zig Ziglar did. Then he unscrewed the top of the jar after 20 minutes. The way of escape is open. Not one flea made any attempt to get out the mouth of the jar. After 20 minutes of failure, they gave up. That is the picture of a person who has absolutely no goals and no spiritual goals in their life. God wants to max out your spiritual gifts. He wants to max out your talents, but you've got to have some direction in your life. Now, know the manner in which we do our work. Colossians 3:17, if you come to a funeral, and I'm preaching the funeral for somebody who worked in a career for a long time, I'll always use Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We want to do everything not just for a paycheck, but as unto God. It'll make a difference in your work ethic. But one of the reasons why we need to make sure that we work as unto the Lord, because the Lord one day is going to examine our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether they be good or bad. The other reason that we work is that we need to exalt Jesus in everything we do, everything we think, and everything we say. We love to sing our favorite praise and worship choruses, our favorite old hymns. And oh, we just want to glorify Him in worship. But I want you to know that what we do in our profession is also an act of worship and is to be done unto God. I used to love to hear Yogi Berra. Your great-grandparents will know who that is. Hall of Fame catcher for the New York Yankees. And here's what he said. It applies today. If you don't know where you're going, you might wind up someplace else. And that's where a lot of people are. I was reading a story the other day that really touched me. It's 48 Days to the Work I Love by Dan Miller. 48 Days to the Work I Love by Dan Miller. Dan Miller lives in Nashville, Tennessee. He's had a landscaper, a lawn care man that's Hispanic named Noh, N-O-H. He's from Mexico. He said he is an extremely hard worker, extreme. He said, we were mapping out landscape and the flowers we're going to plant in my yard for the springtime and how are we going to maintain it during the summer. So he said, I asked Noh, how is your dad doing back in Mexico? He said, he's doing fine. He said, but I'm about to do something. I've started a business in Mexico. I'm living here in the United States, but I got one down there so Dad won't continue to depend on my income for his income. Here's what this young man did. He went to Home Depot in Nashville, Tennessee, and bought 3 freezers. He drove them down to Mexico, picked up his dad. They made popsicles, homemade popsicles to fill up all 3 freezers. And they took them to 3 little markets, little food markets. And they cut a deal with the owner of the 3 food markets. They said, we're going to put these freezers in your market. And we're going to put the supplies in there. Here's the price of them. We get 60% of the money that you take in at the cash register. And you get to keep 40%. Well, that doesn't sound like much to you, does it? People said, you don't want to expand this business because you won't be able to find people to hire. You won't be able to find people to trust. Don't know if you can trust your dad with all this. So Noh felt led to continue this. And I want you to know today he has 820 freezers down in Mexico. That's a lot of trips from Home Depot down to Mexico. And he's also bought a machine that can make 10,000 popsicles in 8 hours. Right now, he's selling 9,000 popsicles a day. He gets 60%. The little businesses get 40%. Now he's had to bring in a cousin to help do management. Noh has a 6th grade education. Soon, he said, I will have 1,000 freezers in 1,000 markets down in Mexico. Let me share something else about him. not only just have a sixth grade education, he goes to business seminars to find out how people make successful businesses. He has a flip phone. He doesn't text. He doesn't do Facebook. He doesn't tweet. He's not using the modern technology. And you're sitting there thinking, well, how much larger could his company become if he would just get involved with technology? I'm not being critical of technology. What I'm trying to tell you is, here's a young man. As we would look at his life, his lack of education, lack of family support, he's over here with a highly successful lawn care business. He started a popsicle business by hauling freezers down there three at a time in his pickup truck. When I look at him, all I see is disadvantage. And all Noah could see was opportunity. We need more people like that in America. But what I want to share from my heart to yours with these scriptures, this is where I started. I had a lot of time late at night after the store closed, twist my mop up properly, make sure it was squeezed out real good. There's old Claude running the machine. Hurry up and get through that aisle. I'm dancing with my darling here. God, is this what I'm going to do the rest of my life? Is this why my mama had 7 miscarriages and stayed in bed after 8 months to bring me into this world? No. But the Lord wanted me to start out with manual labor and get a work ethic. And I want to tell you that the message from a mop bucket has worked for me. These are tried and true principles that will work for you to max out what God's plan is for your life. Will you stand right where you are, heads bowed, eyes are closed? Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. A very simple message, but you created us really to take care of your garden. And that means we were created to work, but not just doing anything, but doing what you planned before the foundation of the world for every one of our lives. Pray that you'll bless these graduates, give them wisdom as they continue education and continue their careers, help them to be in the very center of your will. Help them to be very open to your word, to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, and then the message given by other people in their profession that make them sharper with their skills. Thank you for these parents who have invested in these kids. I know many of them, they've just really sacrificed to get their children to where they are. I pray you'll bless them for what they have done as well. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, willingly went to the cross to shed his blood for your salvation and mine, rose again that we might have eternal life. Whosoever calls on his name shall be saved. You need to do that today. Some of you have already made that decision. You need to be a candidate for baptism and church membership. Others of you are our guests today. You have been for a while, and you have discovered through prayer and the study of Scripture, this is where God wants you to plant your spiritual gifts. I invite you to come as well. Lord, I thank you for every person who's come here today. We're not here by accident, but by divine appointment. And I pray that you'd be honored by all the decisions that are made publicly and privately during this, the most important time of the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Ted's going to join me here at the front. If you need to make a decision, if you'll come as we begin to sing. Richard's coming forward with Dan over in the Family Life Center. I ask that you'll come. If you need to make a public decision, the praise band's coming as well. if you have some difficulty standing in front of people or because of COVID or some other reason, you need to make a decision. After the service, Ted and I will be at the information desk in the Welcome Center. Dan and Richard will be at the information desk, the Connect desk, in the Family Life Center. We've had several who have joined our church in the Welcome Center and the Family Life Center. We invite you to come. If you're watching us on your electronic device, if you call at 706-234-1841, leave a message. One of our staff members will get back with you. If you need prayer, you need to know how to trust Jesus, just give us a call. Mark's leading us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.